Psalms. You can start in the middle. That's easy to find, right? Psalms. And let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right into the word of God. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word that is at work in us who believe, that's quickening us. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Right now, in these next few moments, Lord, we need your illumination. There are needs here. There are people here, Lord, that I know are needing a touch from you, healing in their bodies, relief for pressure and stress in their minds. They need answers, Lord, and you are that answer. All treasure of wisdom and knowledge are found in you, Jesus. So pour it out right now in these next few moments. Holy Spirit, release your truth to our hearts. Release that which will set us free and put us on a path of victory for 2023. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have Alan put up a scripture from Luke to begin with. Luke 12, verse 32. Jesus said these words. He said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, religion tells us, quit asking for blessing. Christians are always saying, "Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord." Religion will get down on you for doing that. Jesus says what? It's your Father's pleasure to give. Say it again with me. It's the Father's pleasure to give. One more time. It's the Father's pleasure to give. What delights him? You're not going to bankrupt God. You're not going to bankrupt your Father by pressing in for more and more blessing, by pressing in for more and more of his goodness, by taking hold of the blessings that are yours in the kingdom. No, Jesus said it here. Fear not, it's your Father's good pleasure. It delights him to give us the kingdom. Now, I've shared this analogy with you before. I don't want to wear it out, but I really want you to get a hold of this idea that when you get saved, you stepped up to the doors of the kingdom. You stepped up to heaven's gates. You got to go on in. I'm not talking about dying today. Don't go that far. But go into the gates. Miles Monroe was a great preacher years ago, and he talked a lot about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. We get saved, but then we don't do anything with the kingdom. It's like walking up to the doors of a shopping center, a great, you know, gallery or whatever, and not going in the doors. Well, you're not going to find anything to buy, ladies, if you don't go in the doors, right? You got to go inside the kingdom. Jesus said, you're born again. That gets you to the doors. That gets you through the doors. Now come in and partake of the kingdom. Amen? And the Christian life is not boring. Religion's boring. Christianity should be exciting because we're constantly pressing into what is ours in the kingdom. And the Father is just delighted. He's just delighted to pass it out to us and dole it out to us. That's what Jesus said in Luke 12. 1 Corinthians 3:9, if you're taking notes, just write it down. I'll quote it for you. 3:9. No, we got to look at it. I have to. 1 Corinthians 3:9. We'll be at Psalms in a minute. Just keep your finger in Psalms. We're coming. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Paul said this. Actually, the Holy Ghost said this. Amen? Paul was just the writer. Holy Ghost said this to the church. 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are what? Say it out loud. Three of you have it. We are you there yet? 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. Say it again. We are laborers together with God. What does that make you? A co-laborer. God's got some things he wants to get done on the earth in 2023. He's not going to do it all himself. He needs co-laborers. Amen. And the Bible says right there in 1 Corinthians 3:9, you and I are laborers together with him. That makes us co-laborers. See, there's certain things that God wants to achieve on earth he can't do without man. Did you know that? Some of you say things like, I've heard it said here and there, not all of you, but I've heard some comments here and there. If God wants that to happen in my life, it will happen. Not necessarily. Not without your cooperation, it won't. No, there are certain things God has in store for you and I, but they will not land on the landing pad of our life without our cooperation. And Psalms 115, you're there, right? Psalms 115th chapter, 16th verse, one of my favorites. We have that one right, Alan? Psalm 115, verse 16. The heavens The NIV says the highest heavens, because it's referring to not just the sky, not just the outer space. It's talking about the place where our Father lives. The highest heavens belong to who? The Lord. But the earth, read it out loud to me if you got King James. The earth he has given to the children of men. The earth he has given to the children of men. Earth is heaven's reflection in a physical form. And it's God's intent that we co-labor with him in reigning. He's not going to do it all, saints. We have to rise with him in the occasion. Psalm 115, 16. Let's look at it again. The highest heavens belong to the Lord. The earth he has given to the children of men. Look at it in the Passion Translation up here on the board. The heavens belong to our God. They are his alone. But he has given us the earth and what? Put us in charge. Wow. There you go. There's the clarification I'm trying to get at. Who's in charge on earth? Not God? Well, and it's not a trick question. Some of you are afraid to answer now. Who's in charge in heaven?
God.
Mm-hmm. Who's in charge on earth?
We are
his children. Jesus, in his ascension, rising from where? The Mount of Olives. We'll get to it more in my message later. He's rising from the Mount of Olives. Just a little Christian trivia for you to stick in your hat. Where did Jesus rise from? You got it. And as he's rising, he says what? All authority is given to me, and now I give it to you. You go. I'm not going. You go. Sounds to me like he put us in charge of the going, didn't he? If the gospel message is going to get out, who's going to have to go? We are. Psalm 115, 16. Don't forget it ever. He owns the earth. We manage the earth. He owns the earth. We are his stewards. We are his managers. Right? We don't take it pridefully. I'm not talking about being arrogant about things. It's not like, you're up there, God. I'm going to do what I want down here. No, that's the wrong attitude. It's, this is his planet. He's entrusted it to us. We will humbly steward it under his direction. Amen? Under his lordship. It's not in our own direction. It's not according to our own thoughts and dictates or our own heart. We follow the orders from headquarters. Amen? When it comes to God's work, I heard a phrase, a saying, actually Kenneth Copeland said, Oral Roberts taught him this. He said, find out the will of God. Do what you have to find out what God's will is in a situation. Number two, get the job done at all costs. Right? See, God says, if you'll be my steward on earth, I'll give you a blank check to get my work done. Did you know that? The kingdom of heaven is essentially a blank check for you and I that are following Jesus. Whatever it's going to take to get God will back it. When my daughter got married years ago, I told my wife, I looked at her and I said, I'm not paying for this wedding. He is.
Amen.
I refused. I said, no way. I'm not even going to try to shoulder that load. This is God's doing. And therefore, it's a blank check. So the kids went out and picked out whatever they wanted. I didn't stress. Just sold more pianos. One piano I sold twice in about a year period. About $100-something thousand Steinway. I sold it twice. I said, thank you, Jesus. You provide for this wedding.
That's right.
Why? Because heaven's work is a blank. We have a blank check to get it done. If we're following the master. Amen? Whatever it costs, God will fund it. There's a scripture where Paul told Timothy, he said, no soldier goes to war at his own expense. So whatever God calls you to do in this life, you don't have to worry about the money, the provision, the direction, the wisdom. All of that comes from him. It's him supplying us because it's his work. Amen. You know, if you're a Navy SEAL and the government looks at you and says, I need you in Afghanistan tomorrow, you don't sweat the ticket cost. You know they're going to pay for the airfare, right? They'll get you there. And God will get you where you need to be to accomplish the work he's called you to do. He'll provide. And it's fun. It's exciting. I told you the Christian life is exciting. We follow his orders and he funds the mission. Amen?
Amen.
Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. We're continuing this series that we've been in called Godlike Faith. Mark chapter 11. You know where I'm heading, right? We'll look at verses 21 through 24 today. We've made a little progress today. We moved ahead. We're going to move ahead one extra verse. Okay. It's okay to camp out on the Word, isn't it? Yeah. Because, you know, it solidifies our faith when we have repetition. Amen? Nobody catches it on the first go-around. Nobody. I don't care how good you are. We leak truth. Amen? We need to hear it over and over. Faith comes by hearing it over and over and over again. So let's look at it. We'll pick it up in verse 21 to catch the context. The Apostle Peter's always first to speak up, it seems. He calls to remembrance, saying to Jesus, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto Peter, no, he said unto, why does it not say he said unto Peter? Because Jesus took this question as a moment to instruct them all. And I love it. He's about to open up a principle that is a whosoever principle. And it's available not just for Peter, right? Not just the lead disciple. It's available for who? All of them. And for us. So see, even little words like that in the Bible, you gotta slow down when you're reading, underline things, catch it. He answered, said unto them, all 12 disciples, "You have faith in God," or "you have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatever he believes in. Nope. Whatever he saith. Right? There's the operative word in that verse. It's mentioned three times. Hope you'll underline it, highlight it, circle it. Three times in one verse he mentions the vocalizing of our faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. Now I love this. This is why it's so good to reflect on different translations when you're studying the Bible. And we have it really easy. You know that little thing in your hand called a cell phone? If you don't have the YouVersion Bible, get it. It's the only app. If I was on a desert island, I could survive with the YouVersion Bible. And food and water, of course. But it's my favorite app. I mean, you can compare translations. I mean, you look at verse 23. Actually, this translation I'm about to mention is not in YouVersion, but it is available on gatewaybible.com. But the Living Bible, it's the only translation that picked this up. But when Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain," and no other translation for some reason, Lois decided to even mention what mountain he was talking about. But the Living Bible says, "Whosoever shall say unto this Mount of Olives." Isn't that interesting? See, when we read the Bible again, stop and think, who's Jesus talking to? Where was he standing when he said what he said? So ask those questions as you're reading. This will get you further in your understanding of the word than if you don't, right? Don't just read it on the surface. Ask, who was Jesus talking to? Where was he standing? What was he looking at? What was he seeing? What was he feeling in that moment? He was standing on the Mount of Olives. He said, "Whosoever shall say unto this Mount of Olives." It's interesting, when we went to Israel 4 years ago, we landed in Jerusalem on the bus, and boy, it was like this, you know, hair-raising feeling on the back of your neck, this tingly kind of feeling when you went rounded the bend, and there you could see off in the distance the Dome of the Rock and, you know, the old city, and we were kind of on a mountain looking down at it. It was just, whoa, this is Jerusalem. And then we pull in, they take us up. The first place they let us off the bus was the Mount of Olives. Well, we probably walked about 100 yards or so to get to this site. And of course, you know, it's hot. It's the middle of the day. Israel's a desert country. And it's hot. And we're ready to get off the bus. And we're a little bit jet laggish as well. And so they take us and they say, "This is the Mount of Olives." And we're looking around and we're going, "It's a cemetery." Yep. And they have all these graves at the Mount of Olives. And they're above ground. They're like caskets in a box above ground instead of being under the ground. And on top of the stone boxes are all these rocks. And it's like, what are the rocks about? Well, the rocks are brought, when they have that particular funeral, the people from that village or near city, whatever, whoever was buried there, they bring rocks from the town and put them on the coffin, like as a memorial, like, you know, they're from Alvin. So we bring these Alvin rocks and lay them on top. It's kind of cool. But we're just standing there kind of blurry-eyed at this gravesite where there's 150,000 or so graves on the Mount of Olives. That's not the point. I'm just throwing out some trivia that's kind of fun this morning. But Zechariah 14:4 says when Jesus comes back, he'll split the Mount of Olives. He'll land, you know, when Jesus comes at the second coming, not the rapture, but when he actually lands on earth to rescue his people, he'll land on the Mount of Olives. And that's why the Jews want to be buried there, because they figure that's the first, that's the starting point of their resurrection. Huh? In contrast, the world's largest graveyard is in Najaf, Iraq. It has over 6 million graves. Don't even try to find Granny's tombstone there. You just, you know, you bury them there and you just forget it. You know, you just, 6 million, can you imagine going to visit that gravesite? That's just an interesting thought, I thought. All right, so Jesus, back to the word. He said, the promise is we shall have whatsoever we say. Amen? We shall have whatsoever we say. What is the promise? We shall have. Say, I shall have.
I shall have.
Yeah, in 2023. I believe the Lord is calling us to make this our declaration, our motto, and our go-to in this year, that we shall have whatsoever we say. It's going to require us to do some saying, though, right?
Amen.
Not just believing in here. You got to go the step further. It's like having a gun and not pulling the trigger. You have to pull the trigger to make it an effective weapon. You've got to say to release your faith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall what? You shall have them. This sounds like a twofer deal to me. Jesus said, you shall speak to the mountain and you'll have it move. And when you pray to the Father, you'll get that answer too. Jesus was the inventor of the first 2-4 deal, right? You get the Ginsu knives along with the whatever, right? It's not just one deal you're buying. You know, everything in this life is not a true twofer. I just got to say it. There's no such thing as a true twofer. You buy this and we're going to give you this. No, this thing here was worth a whole lot less than you paid for it. You just got this because they felt so guilty for charging you this much for the first item. Jesus is the first true twofer offer. Verse 23 says, I'll give you whatever you say. Verse 24 says, I'll give you whatever you pray. There's a difference. You should split verse 23 and 24 in your Bibles. There's a difference. There's times as believers we are called to say something. Say something. I think Christians probably fall weakest in this area, honestly. We're pretty decent at prayers, right? Crying out to God when we need something from him, verse 24. But when it comes to saying to the mountain, you know, there's times in your life you've got to speak to the mountain. You don't speak about the mountain to your friends and your unbelieving fellows around you. You speak to the mountain. You don't talk to God about the mountain. You speak, right? When Moses was bringing Israel out of Egypt and he got to the Red Sea, it's an interesting verse in the Bible. You can read it there. He got to the sea and the people were crying out like, what are we going to do now? We're going to die. Pharaoh's army is after us. And he said, he cried out to God and God said, why are you looking at me? You raise up your rod and split the sea. We sang about it. You split the sea. And some of you aren't seeing the things you want to happen in your life because you're not splitting the sea. You're not lifting up your rod. You're not exercising faith by saying to the mountain. See, don't pray about what God wants you to say about, and vice versa. If there's something that should require prayer, God to make the change, don't you be trying to change it in your own strength. You just allow God to through prayer. You see that? Verse 23 is about saying. Verse 24 is about praying. You should write that in the margin of your Bible. Saying and praying. And we as believers, having the spirit of faith, amen, we should be about both in our life on a regular basis. We should be sayers and prayers, amen? We should be speaking. I told you, I shared with you last week, I got some neighborhood nonsense going on around me. I've quit allowing it to frustrate me. And every time I hear this certain engine go by, rumbling and shaking and noising and disturbing, I don't get bent out of shape like you used to, Evan. I simply release my faith at that person. And I say unto that mountain, be removed and find you a new neighborhood to live in. This is my domain of peace. I don't mean any spite by it. In fact, I'm speaking them into their destiny. And it's not royal estates in Alvin. It is somewhere else. Because Jesus said, go into all the world. I'm sending them out in the blessing of the Lord. Well, verse 24 is an awfully big blank check. When God says, I'll give you whatever you desire, we tend to shy away from that. In fact, we almost feel like it's lightning bolt material to get involved in that. You mean God's going to give me what I want? Listen, that verse presupposes, number one, you're a child of God. Number two, you're abiding in the vine. You got your priorities right. John 15, we read it this last week, right? You Bible readers, New Testament?
Yep.
John 15, yep. Jesus said, abide in me and I'll abide in you, which means his desires will abide in us, his direction, his wisdom, his flow. And when we're operating in that flow, we can ask whatever we desire because we are one with the vine.
That's right.
His desires become our desires. Mm-hmm. See, that's what Mark 11:24 is talking about. You will have whatever you desire in prayer because you're in the flow of my desires. That's what he's saying. You don't just pick any old mountain to speak to and tell it what you want. No, I really have the direction of the Lord. I really am sending my neighbor away. I really am, in peace and blessing. But we listen to the Lord and we say, Lord, which mountain? This one over here? Okay, I got the mountain. What do I say to it? You see, it's about abiding in him, his flow, what he desires in the situation. Amen? So the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I'm no longer angry at my neighbor. I've just got in the flow. And Jesus and I are pushing them on out to their destiny. Praise the Lord. Enough of that. All right. Whatever I desire, say it. Whatever I desire. When I pray, I believe, I receive, and I shall have. Saying and praying. At year's end, at the end of 2023, you and I will have in life whatever we say and whatever we pray for. If you look back at the end of this year and you got nothing in your spiritual bank account, I question how much saying you did. But that's not you. That's for the other congregations. This congregation does some saying. Amen?
Amen.
I believe for better things, things that accompany salvation. When the end of the year comes, you and I will have in life everything we prayed for, everything we were willing to speak to, we will see. Even if it hasn't manifest, it will be in here. Are you with me? See, in here, my neighbor's already long gone. He's already got his house somewhere else. I see it in here, even if it doesn't manifest by the end of 2023. Are you with me? I say that in love. I love my neighbors. I love them into their destiny. So we ask the Father, what do you want me to pray in this situation? What do you want me to say in this situation? Right? We get our directions from him, and then we move with it. Because God will not do in the earth what he has authorized us to authorize. Did you know that? It's a partnership. We started with that verse in the beginning. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Paul said, we are co-laborers together with him.
Right.
It means we've got a part to play. Right? When we co-labor with God in prayer and in our speaking, wonderful things happen in the kingdom. Amen? And that's the kingdom come. That's what so many Bible teachers have talked about. Your kingdom come. We pray that wonderful prayer that Jesus said, taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not going to happen just because we ask him to. Sometimes we got to get involved in saying and bringing that thing about. Are you with me? And so it's like lighting up the switchboard at Washington. You know, years ago, I was a little more politically active than I am now, but just a time constraint, honestly. But, you know, every so often some issue would come to the forefront and they would say, what? Call your senator. Call your congressman, right? And they give you that 202 area code number, right? Dolly, 202.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. And what do they expect us to do? Light up their switchboard.
Yep.
Why? Because they know it will make an impact. And God's calling us in 2023 to light up heaven's switchboard. Amen? You're not going to overload it. But he's delighted to give us the kingdom. He's delighted when his children are doing what? Saying and praying.
Amen.
Say it with me. Saying and praying. This is our direction for the year. To say what the Father leads us to say in the situation. To speak to the mountain and see it move. You see it move here first before you'll ever see it move out here. It starts in here. You got to see that thing move. And then it will move. And keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And then when it's time to pray, pray. And if you don't know how to pray, pray in tongues. And if you don't have tongues yet, come see me after the service. We'll pray and you'll get your tongues. Amen. The Bible says when you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit in you will pray the perfect prayer according to the will of God.
That's right.
I liken what I'm talking about to the end of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. We just passed Christmas not too long ago. I love that part where they pan out from Earth. There's this little phony globe standing there in outer space, right? It's like that old 50s science fiction movie looking globe. It's supposed to be Earth, and these little voices are coming off of it, right? Help George Bailey, God. Help George Bailey. Help him, Lord. He's a great guy. You know, he's a swell guy or whatever. He used to say swell in the 50s. You know, he's a swell guy. Help him, Jesus. And I just love that, where heaven's switchboard is being lit up for George Bailey, right? And I'm telling you, some of you have quit praying about your lost relatives. Some of you have quit saying anything good about your lost relatives that don't know Jesus. It's time to light up the switchboard. It's time to cry out to heaven for George Bailey. And see heaven move. See wonders happen. Amen?
Amen.
You will have whatever you say, and you will have whatever you pray for. Let's stand together. We've got a part to play. Psalm 115, 16. Put it on the board one more time for us, Alan, please. Let's read it in the King James. The heaven, read it out loud with me. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. That's you and I. If something's wrong with our world, it's the Church of Jesus Christ that's going to make it right. It's the Church of Jesus Christ that's going to change it. You say, really? Could we change the politics? If you believe in your heart and don't doubt and say what God gives you to say about it, amen? Under his direction, amen? We follow the orders from headquarters, and he will lead us into victory. Praise the Lord. Use your mouth, saints. The devil's afraid of your mouth. That's why he silences believers. That's why he makes you sit around and grumble about things the way they are. Why I quit grumbling about the neighborhood rumblings that I wasn't happy with. I started saying something. And I will see that mountain move. And you will too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands to heaven in thanks for the word of God. We thank you, Jesus, for the promise. You didn't just answer Peter. You answered all 12. In fact, it echoes in our ears today in 2023. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Even little old me can say it, and little old you. Thank you, Lord, according to your promise, it will be done, and we shall have whatsoever we say in this year. With your head still bowed for just another moment, I want to give everybody the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ in this room. I don't assume that everybody that goes to church is necessarily born again. It may not be. And so in these next few moments, we're going to pray a prayer together. I want to lead you in it. If you say, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer in Jesus Christ, or I'm coming back to the Father, this is my day to give my life and surrender to Jesus Christ. Let's pray this prayer out loud together, and your life is going to change from this moment forward. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. I believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. He is seated in heaven at your right hand, and because of his blood, my sins are forgiven. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's yours for the taking. Take the kingdom this year. whatever advancement you need to make in the world around you. You're not happy with something? Ask the Father, what do I do about this? Do I pray to you about it to change it? Or do you want me to say something? And then obey whatever he tells you to do. Amen? You'll see water turn into wine. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. May the Lord keep you and bless you in Jesus' name.